If you're here, if this is your first time here, or maybe your first time back in a while, we're beginning a brand new series today. So today's message is going to be a little bit different than the rest of the series. This is really just an introduction, okay? So today is going to be a lot more motivational than it is to be sort of instructional or informational. And I think it's a great time to talk about fitness. Because, you know, you've got the first of the year and people make New Year's resolutions and all that. And then I was reading this a few years ago. There were some Gallup polls and they actually studied, they found out that out of all the people who made their New Year's resolutions for fitness, only 12% of all those people were actually committed enough to make real changes in their life. So let's just hear it. How many of you would be one of those 12%? You're like, I made a thing and I'm going to keep it. You're going with it? Yeah. Now, how many of you would say my New Year's resolution has to do with fitness? Anybody? Did anybody make any kind of resolution that has to do with fitness? A few. Be loud and proud. Come on. Show it. Okay, first service, we only had 3. Now we've got like 10, 20, something like that. All right. Now some of you, you're serious about this, and maybe somebody bought you for Christmas one of those things that you put on your wrist. What do you call those things? And all of you know, Fitbits. I don't own one. I think they look kind of cool. I already have a watch on this hand. It doesn't tell me how fit I am. But for those of you who have a Fitbit, this company has basically made a business that just helps you track all the things you do. It helps you track your steps, like whatever your steps are, it tracks your steps, tracks your progress. If you're riding a bike, if you're running, I don't know, does it track you if you're swimming? It probably does, totally. So if you're like swimming and running while you're on a bike, it probably tracks that. But it tracks your goals, it helps you reach your goals, and it's just a good tool to help you meet those goals and stay fit. And for some people, it's even a way to kind of track your heart rate. You figure out what's your heart rate and how well you're doing, or you know, are you being healthy and all that. So it's just to help you have a commitment to being fit. Now, most of us in this room fall into one of two categories: fit or not fit. Okay? All right? I have been told that people who are healthy, they spend about 150 minutes every week doing some sort of exercise, okay? And it doesn't have to be all at once, but 150 minutes every week doing some sort of exercise. And so people, if you have a Fitbit, you can kind of track how many minutes do I have? Did I make my 150 minutes? Am I really fit? Okay, so here's my problem, all right? So while I would like to be in the first category of fit, this is my problem, right? So I don't know that I really fit. At this point in my life, I don't fully fit into the category of being fit. I once did, but not so much anymore. I used to wrestle. I was very fit, all of that. So I don't want to be labeled in that second category. I refuse to be labeled in this category. So what I wanted to do is I wanted to make a third category. I'm creating a third category, and I'm doing it for me, and I'm doing it for you. So let me just kind of show you what this category is. My wife taking off my clothes on stage. Success. First service, this whole thing flew up. So this is the new category right here. Fit-ish. This is it. All right? Fit-ish. If you don't fit here and you don't want to fit here, you can be fit-ish just like me. And here's the thing. It's kind of fit, all right? Someone semi-fit. It's someone who likes the idea of being fit, but they also like food. That's me. That's me, right? I love that. Now, just for fun, I've got another shirt here. Are there anyone here who's like, if that's me, I'm fit-ish. That's me. And free t-shirt. Now, here's the problem. It's a medium. This is the problem. All right? And I'm trying to figure out, how do I give this t-shirt out? Now, you're a medium right here. You're like, yes, I want to be fit-ish right here. Is there anybody else who's like, yeah? Are you willing to do like jumping jacks to prove? Are you willing to do jumping jacks? Are you willing to do jumping jacks? Okay, so hold on, right there. See. All right, but that's too fit. I'm sorry. So, all right. So it's going to go over here. So you get the finish. All right. There you go. Congratulations. So I love to have fun like this, and honestly today, my focus today is actually not really going to be on how we can be more physically fit or how we can be more healthy with our bodies. I want to kind of change that and talk about something else. I don't want to focus on the outside of us. I want to focus on the inside of us. But I will say this. One of the things that we want to do as a church is we want to encourage you to be healthy. You've got the ladies' retreat now. Earlier, the ladies did like the self-defense class where they were throwing each other all over the place and mangling each other. That was really cool. And there's going to be something like that, I think, at the ladies' retreat. So the ladies are going to be involved in this. But in the spring and in the summer, we're going to start some things and have things like where if you cycle, if you're a bicyclist, then we're going to probably say, hey, let's bring your bikes to the church, and afterwards we'll all go out together. We'll do something like a once a month kind of a thing where we ride together. Or maybe if you are demented and you like to run, we'll find some people who are mentally disabled and they run with you, okay? And they'll do the running, right? I know one guy right there, he's mental, right? There's a few of you that are out there, you love to run, and maybe there's walks, there's other things. So we really do want to do that. We want to encourage you to do those things. We want to be that kind of a church. But see, this is the reason why I can't just focus on giving a message that's based on being physically fit. And so the reason why is this. So we all know this, that once your physical life eventually deteriorates, and it will, everybody's physical life will deteriorate. If you haven't intentionally been considering all the other parts of your life to stay emotionally fit, to stay spiritually fit, relationally healthy, you won't be able to handle the changes that your body throws at you. You won't. When your body begins to fail, if you are not healthy and whole in these other areas of life, you're going to be in a really mean place. You're going to be in a bad place. You're going to be miserable. And many people struggle because they never had a balanced approach to living how God designed us to live. And yeah, I know some people that they spend all their time at the gym. That's okay if you enjoy doing that. But see, if that's all and you leave out the other, you're in a world of hurt eventually, okay? And see, sometimes what happens is when people are like this, and they're not balanced, they're not fit all over, and then disaster happens. They find out that they're lacking. And see, every one of us, we know somebody, we could just find somebody that we know who maybe they never took time. They never took time to learn how to develop deeper friendships. Friendships and maintaining friendships, you know, where you can kind of make a friend, but where you hang on to your friendships and you have these deeper friendships so that when the hard times come, there they are. But some people, they just don't know how to do that. And so they just don't have any of those deep friendships. We know people who they never took the time to develop their mind, to stimulate their intellect, or even to guard their heart. And because of that, you see, as they go on through life, they've got these issues with their thoughts. They've got issues with their heart, like not like cardiac heart, but issues with the core of their person, their personality. We know people who maybe they never ever pursued a deeper relationship with God, that they never asked the spiritual questions to say, who really is God, and what is my final destiny, and what is the deal with Jesus Christ dying on a cross? Like Kyle says, that Jesus died on a cross for your sins, that if you place your trust in Him, you can, it is a promise that you will have eternal life, because He rose from the grave. And anybody who raises from the grave, let me tell you, he's got our vote, right? He's got he is the real thing. The Son of God. And there are people who they never bothered to follow through on those questions. They never bothered to ask and to seek. There are people who never learned how to deal with tragedy emotionally. That the slightest thing, it just breaks them emotionally. They are just fragile and they don't know how to deal with it. They've never strengthened that area of their life. And we also know people who have never learned how to serve other people well, because life has always been about them. It's about what they can do, what they can get. It's they're a getter. It's all about them. They're not a giver. They're just let me take. And you know, near the end of life, the people who are just always doing that, they are never whole and wholesome people. See, what we're talking here is about wellness, and we're talking about spiritual wellness, talking about the inside person. And see, wellness is something that is always intentional. Across the board. Physical wellness is intentional. You have to intend to be physically fit. Spiritual wellness, you have to intend, you have to purpose in order to do it. Same thing's true with relational wellness. Relating to people, learning how to grow in relationship, how to forgive, how to love, how to care for. It's intentional. It's not accidental. All right. Same thing with intellectual wellness and stimulating your thinking, thinking true thoughts and filling your mind with things that are good and wholesome, not the things that just rust out your brain, right? Those things are intentional. So my question going into this series is basically this. How spiritually fit are you? And when I say spiritually fit, I'm talking about your inside person here, okay? Because I believe the spiritual area of your life, it's all over. It's not just like this one little quadrant. It's who you are. It's who God has destined you, who you could become. How healthy are you in your inside person, in your heart? And are you content with being spiritually fit-ish? Because that's where so many people are content. If you ask them and what they do and how they spend their time, for most people in the United States, fit-ish, that's probably the standard. Spiritually fit-ish. And we don't often think this. We don't think, oh, I need to become more spiritually healthy, so therefore let me go do this. Or, I need to become emotionally healthy. We don't think that. Everything around us talks about physical health. The doctors, how you eat, you know, let's exercise. But how many things you see, it's all about your emotional health, right? You don't see that. In fact, most people, they care more about the spiritual fitness, the emotional healthiness of the people around them than they do about themselves. And that's true because we don't like to hang around people who are spiritually unwell, who are emotionally needy and unwell and unfit. We don't like to hang around people, so we care if they're emotionally well or not. We care more about them than we do ourselves. Because if they come around us and they're emotionally unhealthy, we're thinking they need some emotional help here. But we never think about ourselves, you know? And I will, if I'm honest, I'm bothered a lot more about other people's lack of character, lack of spiritual wellness than I am about my own, and you probably would say the same thing. That you're probably bothered more about somebody else's character, somebody else's spiritual life than you are of your own. You may even say it could be your spouse. Maybe it could be a family member. Maybe it could be a child. Or maybe it's your kids or your boss or your roommate. Or you care more about their lack of character, their lack of spiritual growth, their lack of healthiness in the inside person than you do of yourself. Now, why is it that we tend to value godliness and character and spiritual health more in other people than we do in ourselves? Why do we value that more with other people? You know, the Apostle Paul, he actually brings this question into focus when he wrote a letter to a young pastor. If you have your Bibles, we're going to take some time. We're just going to look at a really small portion of Scripture. It's in 1 Timothy chapter 4. But the Apostle Paul, he was a man who actually was very familiar with personal discipline. Very disciplined person. Before he became a follower of Jesus, he was known as a Pharisee. Okay, and a Pharisee, the group of Pharisees, they were known at that time as a group of men who were very, very disciplined. They memorized all the writings of the Jewish scriptures. So all of the Old Testament, they had to memorize that. You've got to be disciplined to do that. All right, so people could ask them the question, where is this? And they would know it. They rehearsed in their mind about all the different laws, and they added more and more laws and all these things because they were so disciplined, they thought that their discipline was really their key into heaven. That their discipline and studying the scriptures was actually the thing that would get them to God. Even Jesus, he says this, you know, you search the scripture, you think that that's your key to salvation. But the truth is, they're all talking about me and I'm the way of salvation. And the Apostle Paul is one of these guys. He was very, very disciplined. And he was disciplined all in the wrong way. And when he came to faith in Jesus Christ, when he became a follower of Jesus, his entire view of what he thought it meant to be a healthy person totally changed. What he thought was a healthy person, a righteous person, a spiritual person, totally and completely changed once he met Jesus Christ and he became a follower of Jesus Christ. And many years after he became a Christian, he wrote a letter to a young pastor named Timothy. And Timothy was pastoring a church in a place called Ephesus, all right? And so he wrote this letter. It's called a pastoral epistle. He wrote three of them. There's 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy, and Titus. The idea is this letters to pastors, it's just advice. Advice for pastors. So if I need advice, this is one of the places that I could go to learn, hey, what should I be doing? How do I grow? How should the church be growing? It's just advice from Paul to a pastor. And one of the very first things he says that we're going to look at today is in 1 Timothy 4:7. And there's a context, and I'll give you the context, but we're going to start here in this verse. And he says this, have nothing to do with irreverent, silly myths. He said, okay, well, what does this have to do with Christ? Well, in this city of Ephesus and in the church, there were two myths that Paul rebuked that were going around. One of them said this, that if you want to be closer with God, then you need to live a kind of life where you discipline yourself and you don't allow yourself to get married. No marriage whatsoever. If you want to be close to God, you can't get, don't get married. All right? Because that's the way. If you get married, sorry, you're out. You've got to force yourself to be single. The other myth basically said this, that spiritual people, truly spiritual people, only eat vegetables. See, I would be out right then, okay? Because I like meat. This is why God made cows out of beef. He made it for me, all right? So here's the doctrine that it says, godliness came by denying yourself of pleasure in marriage. So in denying yourself of sexual pleasure, denying yourself of relational pleasure with you and your spouse, denying yourself of being able to have children and have that kind of pleasure in relating to your kids and the joy that comes. All those things, no, set them aside, because if you really want to be spiritual, you got to put those things away. And then the other thing was basically saying that you would have holiness by vegetarianism. All right, salvation by vegetables. That's basically what they're saying. And this Paul says, listen, reject it. Have nothing to do with the New King James Version said, refuse to believe these old wives' tales. There is nothing to them. All right. And Paul says this, that whole type of living is called asceticism. And what he would say is this, that asceticism doesn't make you a godly person. All your strict disciplines and all this, that's not what makes you godly or even a stronger person. And if anybody would know that that's true, it would be the Apostle Paul. He called himself a Pharisee of the Pharisees. He was the highest of all those guys. And yet he says, and I give that up. And that's like refuse, that's like dung to me because I'm following Jesus now. So this is what Paul's advice is. This is what he's talking about. He says, reject all this stuff, Timothy. If you want to be godly, if you want to grow in your spiritual life, there's something else that you need to do. And so Paul tells Timothy, what you need to do is you need to train yourself for godliness. You exercise yourself in a way that causes you to grow in godliness. Now, what does Paul mean when he says, hey, rather than do this, train yourself for godliness? And Paul uses a word here. The word train there is this word gymnazo. All right? Gymnazo is where we get our word. Anyone want to guess? Gymnasium. Yeah, you guys are so smart. Intellectual. Whew. Right? Gymnasium. And the idea was this word training, it's used for purposes when you're training for like a sporting event, the Olympics, some big kind of boxing or wrestling match or maybe a run or a marathon or something, that you would train and you would do that. And the idea was it has this idea of agonizing and training in this gymnasium, and you would do it naked, to which I'm like, okay, I'm not signing up for that. Right, I have a hard enough time when I put on my biking shorts and looking at myself in the mirror. I just do. And the thought of going and training naked anywhere, that's not going to work. So what in the world is he talking about? Why in the world would he? Why do people do this? Right? Why would they do that? Why exercise naked? And the idea, the best example I can think of with this would be swimmers. When I was in high school, we had a swim team, and it was mostly girls on the swim team. And I don't know if at that time if it was mostly girls, because one of the things that they would do is, when it came to a meet, of course they wore the skull cap thing, it was all rubber and all that. But before the meet, they would shave their entire body so that they could be as slick and as sleek as possible. And when it came in time for meets, like let's just say there was a meet 3 weeks from the day, they would kind of tell all of us, "Oh yeah, we're not shaving for 3 weeks." And I'm like, "Why are you not shaving?" "Because we need some extra drag. You know, we go through the water and it pulls on us." And they would actually tell you that after they shaved, they would actually get a couple seconds less on their time because it actually caused drag on them. So the idea is this: of when you're training, you want to remove all of the things that would hinder you from becoming the best that you could possibly be. You want to remove all those things. So is there anyone in here who's like a Rocky fan? You like the Rocky movies? Couple of you in here. My son right here, he's like, "Yeah, Rocky." My son Silas, we get in the car and he's like, "Dad, can I pick out a song?" And I just know what he's going to do because it's dun 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 dun. And he just loves the song, right? I love the song when I was younger too. If you remember in Rocky, if you haven't seen it, then I'll just give you a synopsis. Rocky 1 and Rocky 2, it's about this guy who's a boxer, but in both of those movies, half the movie is just all about his training. And my favorite part of the first movie is he's going to start his training and he has to get up at like, I don't know, 4 a.m. or something like this. And he's going to go run through the streets of Philadelphia. Before he does, he's got to get some protein in his body. So he goes over to the fridge and he pulls out egg after egg. And he's just cracking eggs and he's putting it in a glass. And you're just watching him as he's putting it. I think he puts 10 to 12 eggs in this glass. And this is before special effects, people. Okay, so he's got these 10 eggs, and he just goes, glug, 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 and he just drinks them down, and I'm thinking, all right, right there. Price of admission, right there for me. Love it. Love that movie right there. Drinking the eggs raw. I wonder how many takes it took for Sylvester Stallone to do that. Because can you imagine, it would just whoa, come right up in this, I don't know. I just thought that was cool. But he's out there, he's doing that, he's running, he's chasing chickens. He's jumping rope. He's just doing the whole thing. He's learning how to box. He's learning how to kind of move and dance and all this. The whole thing is all about his training. And you watch this in Rocky 1 and Rocky 2, and finally, you know, he wins Rocky 2. He beats Apollo Creed. And then you get to Rocky 3, and none of that is like happening. He's rich. He has all sorts of fame. He bought his new place to work out, this his own gym, and it's nice. It's got music everywhere, and he's just kind of, you know, dancing. And you got these women coming over, "Hey, can I get a picture?" And he's like, "Sure." And he just, you know, making the pose. He rides his bike a little bit. He jumps just a little bit. You know, that's all. And what you see here, when he's in this gym, he is no longer training. He's no longer training naked, if you will. The very first two, he was getting rid of everything that would distract him from winning the fight. By the time you get to Rocky 3, when he's going to go against Mr. T, you know, "I pity the fool that tries to take what I got," you know, he's not in this anymore. He's encumbered. He's got all sorts of things all over that keeps his attention off of becoming a great boxer. He's not training in an unencumbered way. So Paul takes this word, gymnazo, and he attaches this word for training and for exercise with how a person grows spiritually. If you want to grow spiritually, you've got to train yourself for godliness. In other words, you have a part to play, not just in your physical fitness. You have a part to play in your inside person and how fit you are, or fit or fit-ish, you are in your inside person. You have an active part. This idea of godliness, train yourself for godliness. The word godliness, what it means is you have this awesome respect and reverence for God. Now, some of you know that I've got a little pet peeve with the word awesome, because people say awesome all the time. It's like, "Oh, you should try this new gum. It's awesome." Right? And I'm like, no, it's not. It tastes good, but it's not awesome. See, awesome means that you approach something with awe, you can't believe it, and reverence and holy fear. Trident gum, I'm sorry. No holy fear there, right? Okay? So the idea of approaching God in it with just having awesome respect and reverence for Him in everything that you do and think. So you're driving down the car, driving your car, and you have this still this mindset of an awesome reverence and respect for God. You're talking to another person. You still have this in the back of your mind. This is just what you're doing, everything you do and think. It's piety. It's spirituality. It's humility. And this idea of godliness, it's faith in God and also a love for God. And because you have a love for God, you now start having a love for all sorts of people that you wouldn't normally love. Because you're loving God and He's changing you from His love, there are people that you really don't like, but you're learning how to love them. The people that you would never think so. And this idea of godliness, it is very important. You want to grow spiritually, it's all about godliness. It's about trusting God, loving God, letting Him change you so that you love other people, having that awesome reverence and respect for Him. And Paul continues in verse 8 and he says this, "For while bodily training is of some value, godliness is of value in every way as it holds promise for the present life and also for the life to come. This saying is trustworthy and deserving of full acceptance." In other words, what I just said is the truth. You can count on it. It's true. Take it to the bank. Don't forget it. Live it out. That's what he's saying here. So what he's saying is, it's good to be fit. It's good. But what I normally see in society and what you normally see in society, it basically puts all of the emphasis and the focus on external values. It's all about how you look on the outside, right? Physical health, beauty. Doctor visits, you know, health that way. Gym memberships, running, new tennis shoes, health that way. Okay, swimming, whatever it is, exercise, and then there's cosmetics and how you look, and then there's the hairspray, and then the hair color, and then the style, what do you wear? It's all externals. Everything around is focused on our externals, our physical health and our beauty. And I would say, there's just a little caveat, there's also a huge emphasis for a certain demographic, really, it's just for a certain demographic of people that they're college-aged, to train themselves up intellectually. It's not really emphasized unless you're college age, though. But if you're college age, not only do you have the external emphasis, but you also have the intellectual, hey, oh yeah, you should be intellectually growing by going to college, get yourself an education. But see, where do you see emotional health centers? Classes for emotional, relational, spiritual health. I mean, some of you can say, well, yeah, at church, this is where we come to grow spiritually. It's true, it is. But most often, you only get this kind of training, like emotional training, relational training, when you're going through a crisis, when you're already in trouble. You have to get in trouble first. And then, oh, there's like this crisis counseling. There's marriage counseling. There's personal counseling. There's psychiatrists. There's psychologists. But where is the place where you train? Where do you train for your marriage? Where do you train to grow spiritually? See, there's nothing out there really for that. Sure, you train in all these other ways. People will train you how to be beautiful. Beauty school. Hair, get your hair done, style, all of that. But where do you get the other? You don't. Our culture puts the emphasis so much on the physical and external that the leftovers go to helping people learn how to be fit emotionally. The leftovers go to helping people learn how to be fit relationally or spiritually. In fact, I would say the majority of the people in our culture, they would barely fit in the fit-ish category, spiritually. I would say, you know, if this is the fit-ish category, we're sort of approaching it, maybe, spiritually. I think that's our culture today. That's the emphasis. When it comes to your heart, when it comes to your soul, yeah, spiritually, you're probably fit-ish, right? And is that where we should be? Is that enough? And it's not enough. It's not enough. And Paul says, you've got to put the emphasis on the opposite side of the spectrum. Train yourself for godliness. Physical fitness, yeah, it has its value, but it's limited. Godliness has a promise for the present life, because it has a promise for the life to come. Because it's all about that. Spiritual exercise and spiritual fitness that's a result of that, it's of value in every way. That's what Paul is saying. In every way. Because it's not just for the here and now. It's for tomorrow. It's for months from now. It's for the future. It's for eternity. Physical fitness, how long are you going to keep it? How long do you think you're going to keep it? Because, man, when you're 70 or 80, do you think you've got it? Very few. But I'll guarantee you, you won't take it out of this life. But there's something else you can take out of this life, which is your spiritual fitness, your emotional well-being, what you take in your inside person, in your heart. See, that's where we've got to emphasize. And Paul says, you've got to train yourself for godliness. And what that means is that godliness, it's not automatic. It's not automatic. Doesn't just happen when you decide to be religious. I think I'm going to be religious. I think I'm going to go to church. It's not an automatic thing. This means when a person becomes a Christian, there's actually a lot of work involved. When God calls you and says, hey, you're great. You're following Jesus Christ. You're a believer in Jesus Christ. Now I'm going to take you to your next step. And we're going to work out. And I want you to do these things. You're going to take the next step spiritually. You're going to start developing habits and patterns. Because that is what's going to maintain your life. So what does it look like to train yourself towards godliness? That's the question we need to ask. And see this word here, to train, it's actually also used to describe what a father does when he needs to discipline his children. Hebrews 12:11 says, now, all discipline seems to be painful at the time, not joyful. And we would say, amen to that, right? But later it produces the fruit of peace and righteousness for those trained by it. Training is not just something that you do, that you say, I'm going to go train spiritually. It's actually something that God allows to happen to you, that God does to you. So there's a part that you play in doing it, but there's also something that happens to you, that God does to you. So how in the world do you train yourself for godliness? How do you exercise in a way that causes you to grow spiritually and in your inside person, in your character, in your heart, in your emotions, in your relationships? How do you do that? Well, okay, so when you train, many of you have trained for something in the past, okay? And when you train, what do? You practice. You practice it over and over and over again. I remember in military training, we practice. You know what we practice? Things like saluting over and over and over again. Things like marching in step over and over. We trained. You think, well, you just do it. No, you train and you do it. And after a while, it just becomes natural. I would bet anybody that's been in any military, we could get in a line and we could march in step and we would not have any problems whatsoever. Why? Because we trained. We've done that. That's what training does. Or pushing yourself. Like, you know, you're on the bench press and you know, today I'm doing 8 reps of this weight. Okay, I put it up. Okay, whew, and then you take a break and then you do 8 more reps and you do 8 more reps. And then the next day or maybe next week, you're like, I'm going to add 5 more pounds onto that. Because you're pushing yourself. You're going further than what you ever did before. You're trying to strengthen it. The other thing that you do is you practice your form. I've learned as I've been riding a bike over this last, you know, starting this last spring and summer, there's a form to riding your bike. You got to know how to shift your gears right. There's a way that you approach hills. There's a way that you pedal. For those of you who run, I mean, you would know that if you saw me run and I'm this, you know, and you'd be like, you're not a runner, Kyle. I'd be like, that's right. I need to train my form, right? And that's the same thing with swimming. When you swim, there's a form that you have that you have to practice the form. Karate, it's all about the form. Boxing, it's about the form. If you punch wrong, you break your thumb. You've got to learn how to do it. So you practice, and you want to do the action correctly. We used to practice takedowns in wrestling, and we practiced takedown after takedown, and we're like tired of it. And we were really grumbling because our coach made us keep practicing these takedowns. And then I realized when we went to a wrestling match that my takedown, second nature, just like that. I've got this written in the top of my Bible, and this is, and I think this has to do with this. It says, maturity is turning discipline into reflex. Maturity, spiritual maturity, is turning spiritual discipline into reflex. How do you grow spiritually? How do you train spiritually? The same way you train for anything else, by practice. You do it by doing over and over and over again. It involves spiritual disciplines and relational practices. In fact, there are at least five things, I would say, that are common to people who are growing spiritually. These five things are happening in people who are growing spiritually. The very first one we'll call private disciplines. And I didn't come up with these names, and another church did. But private disciplines, spiritual disciplines, that would be things like reading the Bible. Reading it to grow. Maybe reading it to memorize something. Sometimes it's praying. That's a spiritual private discipline. You do that by yourself. You learn how to pray. Praying is not just easy all the time. It can be difficult. Ryan was mentioning of a discipline where he called it praise, where he is just at home and he is just like, I'm just going to sing to the Lord. I'm just going to focus. I'm going to connect to God just with praise. That's what I'm going to do. It's a spiritual discipline. It's a private discipline. Fasting is a private discipline. It does take discipline. It takes practice. Practical teaching is another one, and that would be listening to things like sermons, like messages. You're being taught, or you're reading a book, or maybe you're listening to a podcast. Providential relationships would simply be this, where you decide, I'm going to engage in some relationships that I know they're going to impact my faith. I know that person, they have a walk with God, they have a relationship with God, and I need to get with them because I want some of them to pour out into me. I'm going to ask them to just pour their cup out into me. They don't have to fill me up, but I'm going to ask them to pour out their cup in me so that I can grow. That's a providential relationship right there. Personal ministry is very simple. It's just serving. It's serving at your church. It's serving one another in your church, serving the people around our community. Okay, serving people who might come into our church, just serving those in a non-profit type of way. And then the last one's a little bit different. We call it pivotal circumstances. And that's just basically this, that there are circumstances that come in your life. And you have to learn how to keep your eyes on God when the highs and the lows of life hit you, because they do hit you. And you think about, oh, I was hit with a high. Very rarely does that ever happen. Like, wow, I got hit with this, it was wonderful. You still have to keep your eyes on God in the highs, right? But we get hit with the lows. And what are we looking at that point in time? What is it that we're focused on? So the first of these five things here, they are steps toward growth where you get to exercise. You're training yourself toward godliness. This is you doing this. You being involved. You being intentional and purposeful with that. The last one, pivotal circumstances. This is a way that God increases your faith through circumstances that you don't get to choose on your own. And you take those first four things that you were focused on, and because you've been doing them, and now when that other thing comes and that circumstance comes in your life, it helps you keep your eyes on Him, and it makes you, it takes you through it. One of the books that I had in the back, and it was before I left for my sabbatical, and I said, here's a great book. It's called The Green Letters, Principles of Spiritual Growth. I love the book. Miles Stanford, he says this, God delights to increase the faith of His children. I say, and I say it deliberately, trials, obstacles, difficulties, and sometimes defeat are the very food of faith. Trials, obstacles, difficulties, and sometimes defeat, they are the very food of faith. God wants to increase your faith. And sometimes, in order to increase your faith, He will give you a trial. He will give you an obstacle. You may even feel like you suffer a defeat or a failure. And God intends that you grow through that. See, a spiritually healthy person, a godly person, a person who's training themselves in godliness, is a person who is spending consistent time in their relationship with God. Consistent time. And because of that, you know what you find? They are humble. They have a humble understanding of themselves. They have a growing faith in God. They have a growing love for God. And they have a growing love for other people that they might not normally love. And it's these first four activities that help us when we go through all of the ups and the downs of life. So now's the time where we basically need to ask a question. What does God want you to become? What does He want for you? I mean, can you imagine that your Heavenly Father, He's just kind of looking down right now and He's like, I sure hope that the people of Grace Point Church know that I really want them to be spiritually fit-ish. Do you think the Lord wants you to be fit-ish? Healthy-ish? Or maybe can you imagine Him that He's like, yeah, I'm okay as long as they're kind of emotionally healthy. Yeah, that's real. That's what I'm calling out for myself as a group of people that are kind of emotionally healthy. Or perhaps maybe, you know, that's your marriage that would be just mostly okay. Yeah, they've got a marriage. It's mostly okay. Is this what God wants for you? And the answer is obvious. It's no. Because Scripture says God's plan for you is that you would be conformed into the image of Jesus Christ, His Son. He wants you to look more and more like Jesus every day. That's why He says, I want you to train yourself for godliness. I just think of this picture, naked in the gym, training for this. And then I have this correlating picture over here of Jesus Christ hanging up naked and agonizing for every one of us because He trained Himself for your godliness. He trained Himself for my godliness. See, He did that for us. That's His plan for you. So this is my question for you, and this is why you guys have a little post-it note. Hopefully you have one. If not, you can pick one up on the way out. This is what I want you to do. I want you to figure out what your goals are this year regarding your own spiritual fitness. Or we'll call it your emotional or your relational health. If you would rather call that, and maybe you say, you know, Kyle, I'm not a Christian. That's fine. You can still kind of think about your spiritual fitness, but you should think also about your emotional health and your relational health, okay? And maybe you should start thinking as well, how healthy are you in your thoughts about God? Because you need to start thinking that way. Okay, you just do. And I think every one of us would like to grow in all these areas, but unless we actually do something to begin to grow, we're just going to get the same thing that we've always gotten. We're going to end up in the same place we've always ended up if we keep doing the same thing that we did. So this is my little takeaway. These are our Fitbits, okay? You got two Fitbits today, and this is on your post-it note. And I'm going to do this throughout the series. I'm going to give you some Fitbits, okay? Time to measure what your next steps are. Fitbits, they measure your steps. This is measuring what your next steps are. So what are the areas of your life that you want to grow in 2019? I just want you to write that down right now. Just write down what area or areas of life that you know, man, I want to grow in this way. And maybe it's intellectually, maybe it's learning a new skill. Maybe it could be anything. Or maybe it's, yeah, I really am only spiritually fit-ish. And I need to grow in that way. So I want you to write that down. And the second thing is, what are you going to do Monday through Friday to be intentional about that growth? What are you going to do? I'm just giving you Monday through Friday. But what are you going to do Monday through Friday to be intentional about that growth? See, I want us to be a healthy church, and that means that we need to be growing as individuals. We need to be growing as people. And some of you might say, well, I've got a fit-ish marriage. And some of you might say, well, I know that I have fit-ish character. Or I have a fit-ish attitude towards people. Those are things that God needs to work on in your life, and you need to exercise yourself for godliness. So are you willing to intentionally train yourself toward godliness and figure out what these next steps are? And for some of you, you wrote down these things, but for some of you, one of your next steps would be, I need to really begin a relationship with God. And you've heard that Jesus Christ died for you on a cross, that He died 3 days later. I mean, He was buried for 3 days, rises again afterwards and blows everybody away. Listen, anybody can rise from the grave. My vote is with that person right there. And that's Jesus Christ right there all day long. And maybe that's where you need to begin and put your faith and say, okay, if He's the one that can save me, I know I need saving. So you start by being humble and saying, yeah, that's me, Lord. And maybe for some of you, you've never actually come out and told everybody around, saying, you know, that's me, I'm a believer in Jesus, and you want to step forward, and maybe you need to step forward and be baptized back here. We would love to help you share your testimony and do that. For some of you, maybe it's joining us at Grace Point Church and becoming part of our family, becoming a member. Or maybe you just need to get a schedule of reading through Scripture. Or maybe you want to join into a small group and be a part of that kind of community. Or maybe you just need to serve others. But you need to take your next step, whatever it is. Will you close with me in prayer as we finish today? Heavenly Father, as I think about Paul's command, I am not exempt. Doesn't matter if I'm a pastor. You've called me. This is a letter to pastors. Kyle, exercise yourself unto godliness. And so I pray just selfishly first that you would help me to do that this year. Lord, I pray for our congregation that we would not be content being fit-ish spiritually, but rather that we would be vibrant, we would be healthy. So I ask that you would help us and that you would do it in us, that we would give all the glory to Jesus Christ. Thank you for your great love for us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thanks for coming. You are dismissed. Now let's go out and be more than fit-ish.